There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
For the first time in college game day history, Bobby the Bus Driver rode the bus through the cornfields of Iowa to make his way to Ames Day. Yes, Iowa State taking on Iowa, some corn-fed football players all playing for the Cy Hawk Trophy on Saturday, one of the best rivalries in college football. And that's why we're coming to you live for College Football Live.
Welcome to College Football Live.
Live to tape.
Welcome to College Football Live, where no one has to work on Fridays when game day is in town for the first time ever. Right outside of Jack Trice Stadium, you find us, Maria Taylor, alongside David Pollack and Desmond Howard. And how does it feel to make your first trip to Ames, Des?
It feels fantastic. This is exactly what I was expecting for a Friday afternoon.
I know, right?
Thanks for coming out here. I can't wait until tomorrow morning.
It's going to be an absolute scene. This is one of the, 12 teams we hadn't been to or something like that.
Yes.
Now we accomplished that. Thank God for the weather, by the way.
Doesn't it feel good? Austin last week?
Exactly.
Yes. Africa, right? This feels beautiful. We could do this all day long.
Almost a little chilly, but we'll allow it because it is football weather. Okay, so this week we have no ranked matchup, but take a look at our weekend slate presented by Cars.com. Number 2, Alabama, hasn't played South Carolina in 9 years, but they'll be meeting on Saturday. The Tide have won 84 straight against unranked teams. And then we have UCF putting its 16-game home win streak on the line against Stanford. And then, of course, here, the Cy Hawk Trophy. It will be decided. And then at night, we've got Syracuse headed to Clemson. Remember back in 2017, there were no ranked matchups, and that's when Clemson fell on the road to Syracuse. Let's talk about maybe surprises that we could see tomorrow, because I know some people are just shaking their heads at the week. No ranked matchups.
Exactly.
But there are some surprises that could be waiting in the wings.
I tell you guys what, I mean, you know how good UCF has been and how good they've been this year. And I was surprised when I saw that Stanford is traveling all the way across the country to Orlando to take on UCF, a team, in my opinion, that they should have a lot of problems with defensively, because when you look at UCF, they're getting Brandon Wimbush back. He didn't play last week. They're going to spread him out. They're built on speed in space, and we know how Stanford's defense is built. This is a very dangerous game for the Stanford Cardinal.
UCF favored by a lot in that game.
I'm just saying, why did you schedule this game?
Favored by a lot.
I can't get it. I don't get it.
If I'm going to pick a game where I think the upset's going to happen, technically it's an upset right here. And I
mean, there you go, guys.
When you got this crowd, that's going to be awesome. When you got a quarterback like Brock Purdy, I'm a big fan of this offense. I'm a big fan of this defense and how they do it uniquely from a lot of places, in college football. This game matters, and I think Iowa State's got a good chance to pull upset.
Yeah, this is going to be a surprise game.
It's the one thing that, almost Matt Campbell hasn't been able to check off the list of things he's done since arriving here 4 years ago. 8-5 the last two seasons, but a win over Iowa is the one thing that's evaded this team. And I talked to DeShante Jones earlier today, and he was all in. He's like, this is the game we have to win. It's his senior year, so.
And you're not used to seeing rivalry games this early in the season. True. Like, we always have rivalry week, and we wait to the end of the year, and everybody's kind of, you've seen what they are. Both these teams kind of, we don't know yet. You and I was not a strong performance week one. I was looked pretty solid, but now they get to play, and now we get to see what both these teams are about. So rivalry game early in the season is a lot of fun to have.
I was at the facility yesterday, and I spoke to Coach Campbell and some of the players. And I tell you what, they're so excited about this matchup. They understand everything that's at stake. And, I think it's going to come down to which team doesn't turn the ball over. Whoever can win the turnover battle. When you speak to the coaches and the SIDs, they said, we feel as though we're evenly matched with this team. But what has been the difference in past years is the turnover battle. We've turned the ball over. They haven't. So make sure you keep an eye on the turnover battle tomorrow.
All right. Well, Iowa, they have won 5 of the last 6 meetings. However, all 7 of those last meetings have been decided by 14 points. Yep. So we know either way it's going to be a close matchup. Now let's take a look at our blimp-worthy player. And no surprises here. It's brought to you by Goodyear. And there's a couple of star transfer quarterbacks that deserve some blimp-worthy performance head nods. Jalen Hurts of Oklahoma and Justin Fields of Ohio State. Early on this season, Hurts has thrown for 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He's run for another 3, and Fields has the exact same stats through 2 games at Ohio State. It's thoroughly impressive for both both of them. But the question is, who can actually sustain it the longest? Des, if you had to choose a quarterback that could make the stats kind of almost the same for an entire season, who would that guy be?
It would be Jalen Hurts for two reasons. I think first and foremost, he plays in a quarterback-friendly system. We've seen what they've been able to do the past couple of years, two Heisman Trophy winners back-to-back years. And then he's in the Big 12. They're not known for their defense, you know, as opposed to Justin Fields playing the Big Ten. He's going to have to go up against some big, strong defenses later on in the season. But you look at Hurst, and this is just tailor-made for a guy with his skill set. He could have gone to a better place in Oklahoma to showcase his talents. So I think that Jalen Hurst will be able to keep it going much longer.
I mean, Lincoln Riley.
Right? That's all you have to say.
I don't know what the question is. It's Hurts and Hurts and Fields, but I'll take Lincoln Riley. I mean, just
come on, you're like Ryan Day? Come on, Ryan Day. Haskins.
He's good. He ain't Lincoln Riley. Let's put it this way. When you look across college football, there is it's a copycat league. Everything's a copycat league. Mm-hmm. There's one person that's getting copied the most. That's Lincoln Riley. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, yeah, I'm gonna steal a little bit of that, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Okay, he's the guy. He's the one stirring all this stuff up and killing my defenses across the country.
We knew about Jalen Hurts, like, he's going to be able to get anybody on the run, but he's completed 82% of his passes so far over two games, and I don't care who you're playing. Like, that's not an easy thing to do, and he's looked good. Jalen himself, have you seen the improvement from him from what we saw at Alabama?
Oh, there's no doubt he's a bet. Now, listen, first of all, to give him credit, he also sat behind Tua last year.
Yeah.
And when his number was called in the SEC Championship game, he looked like a better passer. Mm-hmm. So he was already maturing and getting better from what we saw as a freshman when he had to come on the scene right now and try to make big-time throws. So I think he was already working that way. Then you get with the quarterback whisperer, and now things are more clearly defined. It's more high-percentage throws, using your skill set now maximized. So there's no doubt. He went from being a guy you're like, yeah, he might get drafted, now going, okay, he looked pretty good. That boy looked good.
Would you agree with the improvement you've seen from Jalen from Alabama to Oklahoma?
Yeah, because in this system, like I said previously, it's a quarterback-friendly system. Not only does it showcase his running abilities, but he has a lot of receivers who are wide open. I mean, just easy targets to hit with the pass. And I think that now he's been able to do the things that are some of his strengths. And then just to be able to drop back there and see a guy wide open, just hit him. I mean, that's any quarterback's dream. And that's what he's been able to do besides run the ball, because obviously he's been doing a lot of damage on the ground too as a runner.
Well, speaking of great quarterbacks, another great one will be on the road at Syracuse. The matchup between Clemson and Syracuse will be coming to you Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, and that'll be live on ABC. I'll be there. Kirk will be there. Sean McDonough will be there. And now here's Brad Edwards with a numbers crunch on the Tigers' potential road to the playoff.
We've been in the gym. Just two games into the 2019 season, Clemson reaching the college football playoff already seems inevitable. Okay, it's 83% likely, according to FPI, but the mind-blowing number is a 57% chance for the Tigers to go undefeated into the national semifinals. Since the start of the playoff era, only one other team has entered week three with more than a 25% chance to get through the regular season unbeaten. Sure, Clemson is really good, but also the conference slate offers no legitimate challengers. Neither FBI nor the coaches poll has another ACC team in the top 25. That's a big reason why the Tigers' remaining schedule ranks 61st, fifth easiest among Power 5 teams. But games aren't played on paper, so the rest of the ACC still has hope. For now.
All right, Brad Edwards, they're not played on paper, but David already took his paper out and penciled in Clemson in the playoff. Is that what
you can mark it down.
They have the easiest path.
It's the easiest path. Yeah. It's an easy path.
Yeah.
It's the easiest path, and it's very easy. There's not a ranked opponent on their schedule that's the way.
Yeah.
Not one.
There you go.
Look at their schedule.
I mean, where are they possibly going to lose? It used to be a great game.
You thought maybe Texas A&M that would be a struggle, and it
Florida State used to be a great game 5 years ago.
The Aggies.
Maybe at South Carolina, the most challenging game. And that'll be at the end of the season when they're probably working their
best. North Carolina's been dealing.
College. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
At NC State, they typically struggle with NC State, but no, I mean.
They'll probably be a three-touchdown favorite in all those games.
Probably.
At least a three-touchdown favorite in all of those games.
Well, let me ask you this, then. We've always said that Alabama and Clemson, okay, they've got to just be on a collision course for a national championship game at the end of this season. If they stump their toe or slip up, what would be the concern for either of these teams, either Clemson or Bama?
Well, if you're looking at Clemson, I think that's scheduled. Like, if you're going to start comparing them with another one-loss team, say it's Oregon.
Yeah.
Oregon's loss is the beginning of the year to an Auburn team that's pretty good and neutral site. Yeah. Really, think how far they traveled across the country. Like, is that the difference between if they lost to a really poor opponent? Mm-hmm. One thing we've learned about the College Football Playoff Committee, if you lose to a quote-unquote mediocre or bad team, they take a chunk out of you.
No,
I think the only thing
should.
Would be just losing to a bad team that was just ugly, but even then, they probably still get it.
Okay, what about Bama then? What could keep them from...
Well, listen, I told you at the beginning of the season, I thought that Georgia was going to be a team that can knock Bama off. Now we just watched LSU last week, and everyone's like, hold the horses. I mean, what they were able to do to Texas on the road, putting up 45 points. Joe Burrow's looking like now a Heisman candidate, a legitimate Heisman candidate. I think people are starting to look at the LSU game as a potential bump in the road now for Alabama. So the road is not going to be as easy as we thought for the Crimson Tide. Now, let's put things in context. Yeah. That was one game we saw LSU, but they were very, very impressive offensively. Defensively, though, they gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points, too. So they're going to tighten up on defense.
That was a Big 12 offense, though. You know, it's a little different in the SEC. Not really. When you
I like it.
All right, Iowa State, y'all feeling good?
Yeah.
Great. Because we have an Iowa State superstar joining us on College Football Live. Might not have played football, but Georgia is a pretty big deal here, and he's going to come up to set when we come back from Ames.
College Football Live is brought to you by Old El Paso. Everything goes with Old El Paso.
Welcome back to College Football Live, where we want to take you to the hardwood right quick, because George Niang, a four-year player for the Cyclones, one of the hoop legends, he was one of the connoisseurs of the Hilton Magic, now with the Utah Jazz, scored over 2,000 points here in Ames, Iowa, and I guess he's back here for another big-time game against Iowa. Jumper. The jumper's good.
Nice release. Look at that.
The dribble's good. The skills
Follow
are good.
Through. Swish.
The fans love How often do you make it back to Ames?
I try to get it back as much as possible. I run a charity golf run here in the summer, but I had to come back for this whooping we're about to give the Hawkeyes.
Oh, I love it when you just come out swinging.
Yeah, I need
come
it.
Take us back through your 4 years and the matchups that you had with Iowa. Like, how much do you hate the Hawkeyes?
Oh, the hate is real.
Yeah.
I don't like to use that word, but it's real. But, you know, in the basketball court, I know we've dominated this series. Football.
It's been the opposite. They've dominated you.
Whoa. It's true. We're going to live in the present, so when tomorrow happens, we can come talk.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's a Cyclone State regardless, so I'll just put that out there.
Quick question. I want to ask you, when you guys were preparing to play Iowa in basketball, how was that week of preparation?
It's super intense. I was just telling someone this the other day. I was like, when you really think back to this rivalry, like it's super intense, and some people think of it as like, oh, it's just a game, but I think for these fans and this state, this is way more than that. People could care less what other game you win. As long as you win this game, that's all that matters, and the trash talking keeps going on right here.
I think it's so funny because all the athletes, when you talk to them, you know, David does, they're like, oh, it's the next game on the schedule. We got to go 1-0, blah, blah, blah. But what are you guys really saying?
No, not this one. They're like, we're taking down the squawks.
The squawks?
Give me the best story you have from playing against Iowa during your season.
Hopefully you can get a video of this. Uh-huh. But so it was my junior year. We go to Iowa. We're beating them pretty bad. And I knew the game was over. I went and laid the ball in and then blew a kiss to their fan section. So that was the best.
I like that. Did you get a nice warmer reception
like here?
No, it wasn't
that
great.
Was that nice
but back in Ames, I know they were going crazy. Right, guys? Yeah.
George, you've managed to parlay a very impressive collegiate career. You're an All-American. You won the Karl Malone Award. I mean, as a rookie, you were running things, essentially, into a professional career. You're coming off of one of your best seasons.
And the Jazz are about to be real,
they
too.
They are. Yeah. So describe what the professional ranks have been like for you and how that transition has gone.
It was tough. I mean, in college, you know, everything is pretty much mapped up for you. I mean, you know, as a professional, you kind of have to take care of your body.
Yeah,
eat a little better. I mean, there were a couple of times I was like, man, I look pretty chubby. No, so you just have to manage yourself. There's no one there to, you know, tell you that you have to go lift. I mean, you have to take care of these things on your own. But I was happy I came to a school like this where they gave me the tools to do that and move on.
So you got to play in the NBA, probably make your dream come true doing that. All the teams out west and all the firepower on the west side, especially in the West Division, what was the best player you saw last year or the most crazy player you saw that you're just like, good Lord, how does he do that?
I got to play with Paul George my rookie year. But obviously I think, you know, LeBron and
James Harden,
yeah,
or Steph.
Kawhi Leonard, James Harden. They've knocked us out of the playoffs 2 years, so I don't really want to say
that.
He's super talented. There's so many talented players in the West. I mean, every guy offers a different dynamic. I just think the West is from like 1 to 14. I mean, anybody can get beat any night. So, I mean, there's too many players. I mean, we don't have that long, right?
Yeah. Now, listen, I know you said you guys are going to beat the Squawks tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a score?
You know, I'm a big Brock Purdy fan.
Okay.
I like Brock.
My boy's going to be slinging it tomorrow. I see him throwing for 3 or 4 touchdowns. I'm going with 31-20 Cyclones.
All right.
31-20, okay.
31-20 Cyclones, George Yang. Thank you so much for joining
us.
Appreciate it. Good luck to you, man.
He's got to go get back out to the hardwood. Another season with the Utah Jazz coming his way. And you're watching College Football Live. I guess we'll talk football again when we come back. But right now, it's time to take a look at the All-State AFCA Good Works team, recognizing athletes for their charitable work off the gridiron. You see George's Jake Fromm? Yeah, he's there. To see all 22 players on the Good Works team, log on to ESPN.com and search All-State. When we come back to College Football Live here in Ames, Iowa, it's Under Reaction Friday. We'll talk about some of the stories around college football that really aren't getting enough love. And coming up, ACC Network. If you don't have it yet, then you need to demand it now. Get ACCN.com and demand that your carrier provide this network.
Now.
College Football Live is brought to you by Pizza Hut, official pizza of college football. Order now at PizzaHut.com. No one out pizzas the Hut. And Cheerios. Good goes round.
I know you're crazy.
I'm crazy.
I think the game will be close.
So close to par.
Closer, close, 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 much closer.
I'm crazy. Crazy.
This is crazy.
We are glad to have you with us on College Game Day.
Coming up tomorrow on College Game Day, jersey numbers often have special meanings to athletes, and Jen Latta has the story of the special significance that the number 3 has for South Carolina quarterback Ryan Helinski. Plus, it's a dirty job, but someone has to do it. Tom Rinaldi detailing all the untold sights, sounds, and even the smells of the bottom of the pile. And Michigan, Ohio State, Auburn, Alabama, we all know those rivalries. But what about this one here in Iowa? Gino will shed some light on the rivalry between the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones. We'll be coming to you live from Ames, 9 a.m. Eastern, at ESPN and the ESPN app. Gino joining us now. Do you want to shed any light on your story or just leave that alone?
No, it's a story about this rivalry, but also about the birth of a trophy that no one ever expected to see.
Okay, that was a great tease. So everyone stay tuned.
Professional
on College Game Day.
Yes.
Very professional. Okay, let's come up with the professional favorite story of the week. And Gino, we'll start with you.
There were a lot of really cool stories this week, but I'm going to go back to one that sort of resonated with a lot of people nationwide. It's the UT shirt, and most people might know the story by now, but the fourth grader in Florida who was bullied for making a homemade University of Tennessee shirt. And the outpouring of support for this kid has been amazing. Yeah. They pre-ordered 50,000 of these shirts at Tennessee, and just a few days ago, Tennessee announced that they were offering the kid a scholarship, and if he accepts it, he'd be in the class of 2032. Aww. So good
That's
luck to
wow.
you.
Incredible.
Interesting.
And they're giving the proceeds to Stomp Out Bullying, a cool nonprofit to stop bullying. So that's an all-around good story.
That's awesome. That's great to see.
Story.
And there's so many things across college football that the organizations are doing that are so cool. Mine was Army. And It wasn't. It had nothing to do with Big Blue and any of that stuff. Yeah. Literally, last year, Oklahoma.
Right.
This year, Michigan.
Exactly.
All these things these young men go through.
Right.
First of all, for us, and to defend our country and all the heck they go through, to watch them battle.
Yes, sir.
And to watch them fight and be in games like Oklahoma and Michigan games. I'm not going to lie, Dez, I was cheering for them.
How could you not cheer for them?
It's hard not to. So it's just one of those things that you just tip the cap to all those guys that work so dang hard.
Tremendous effort by that team. But, you know, we knew that going to that game. That's who they are. And they're going to give a lot of teams fits. So I love James because I'm so anti-bullying. Yeah. And see that young man get rewarded for that T-shirt that he drew was just tremendous. James Franklin, I don't know if a lot of people saw this, but during the